I invite you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 3. It's found on page 1290 of the Bibles provided for you. James is about to take up the topic of the bridled or unbridled tongue, something that he hit on in chapter 1, and here he brings it up again. Just remember the context of what's going on here in James. If you remember in chapter 1, James is writing to the dispersed church. They were forced to leave Jerusalem and sent out to various different locations under great persecution. And you would think, what might James address in situations like that? I'm pretty sure that the first thing that comes to mind would not be the use of the tongue. But here, James really hones in on the tongue and how it's used improperly and particularly. So this is God's word. Give it your attention. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is God's word. Let's pray and ask Him to bless the reading of it. Father, as we've read your word, it's convicting just hearing the words read aloud. Lord, help us to understand the great power of the tongue and how it can be used for such evil, but Lord, how it can be used for such good. Bless us, we pray in Christ. Amen. Well, here in the first couple verses, James sets the tone for the topic at hand. He begins this passage with a warning to teachers. Not only to teachers, but to everyone, to all of us. See, being a teacher comes with great power, but along with power comes great responsibility. Maybe you've heard that before. So what is that great responsibility? Because teachers make a great impact on what people think and believe and in turn talk about. And when a teacher speaks, his words will be judged in a particular way. And although James may be referring to the eternal judgment that awaits a false teacher or even a godly teacher, I believe really what James is highlighting here is that teachers' words will come under great scrutiny. Teachers place themselves in dangerous positions because they use the tool which God has given them, their mouth, to impart knowledge. This is a great tool of the body. But it's also very, very difficult to control. And that's the tongue. See here, James continues on. Notice the pronoun that he uses. He says, we. He includes himself. And by implication, all that follows after that to be applied to him. He says, we all stumble. And this includes me, James. It's not like he's giving excuses for sin, but rather he's acknowledging that we all stumble. We all fall short of the glory of God, in particular, the way in which we speak. Even as a church leader, James is saying, I fail. I fail in what I see, what I say. And this should be a great comfort to us as God's people. How many of us would confess like this? I fail. I fail in so many ways. The brother of Jesus confessing sin like this. I continue to stumble in this way. Well, brothers and sisters, I can say the same thing. Even this week, I've stumbled in this way. I've failed in the use of my words. I continue to stumble. The tongue gives us opportunities to make many mistakes. And the mistakes of those who hold positions, of public positions, invite a greater divine scrutiny and a severe judgment. It's in this way that James brings us to this topic of the tongue. This is not only true for James and those who publicly profess Christ in the pulpits or teaching in the seminaries, but it's for all Christians. Remember when Paul gave the qualifications for elders and deacons? He talked about particular gifts of teaching, but most of the characteristics that Paul speaks of are character. That elders are to have high character in certain areas, self-control being one of them. But it's not that only elders and deacons are held to the standard. Yes, it's to be exhibited by the elders, but it should be exhibited by all believers. This is the call for all believers. So this is meant for you too. So in order to really delve in to this passage, we need to know your tongue. You need to know your tongue. And we're going to build on it with each continuous point. So to know your tongue is to determine to control your tongue. So in knowing your tongue, we're going to try and we're going to be determined to control our tongue. How you speak speaks volumes of your spiritual life. Because Jesus said, from out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So let's get to know your tongue. So first, do you know the power of your tongue? Do you know the power of your tongue? Verses 2, the second half of verse 2 through the first half of verse 5. I'm going to read it again. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are very large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. Verse 2 tells us, if you do not stumble, you are perfect. And James has used this language before, if you remember in chapter 1. He's not speaking, though, of moral flawlessness or perfection. Rather, what James is trying to highlight here is maturity. You're showing maturity, growth in your spiritual maturity. For James, one way spiritual maturity is measured is in the way that you use words. If you can bridle your tongue, you can show the maturity that you control your whole body. Now, children, there's lots of pictures to draw tonight. Does anybody know what a bridle is? Maybe you don't know what a bridle is. But a bridle is a piece of metal in particular, put in the mouth of a horse and allows you to steer the horse, to make it go one way or the other, directing where it might go. Or a rudder of a boat. It's a small piece of wood or plastic or material. It's placed in the water and you can direct the course of the ship. See here, both illustrations tell us about how to control the tongue. So difficult is the mouth to control. It's so given to lies and biting, bitterness, and slanderous words. So prone to stay open when it'd be more profitable to keep it closed. That when you have it under control, you demonstrate this ability to conquer all the other members of your body. Oh, but that tongue is a strong muscle. How strong is your tongue? So here the master, Pastor James, uses these illustrations. Both of these illustrations focus on the control exercised by a person, by a small object, a bit and a bridle, a bit or a rudder. See, that bridle is placed into the horse. This heavy, big animal that would be wild without it, and yet it's put under control. This big ship that would be tossed by the waves and the winds, yet is under control by this rudder. So the tongue can determine the direction of an individual. So powerful is the tongue. The tongue controls the ship of one's life. It controls the beast of who we are. It determines our whole course of life. And if you've seen it, as we read the Proverbs here this evening, it highlights the importance and the power of this little muscle in our mouth. And James says that this tongue boasts. It's so important. It can legitimately boast because it's so powerful in determining a person's direction. This thing right here has tremendous effect. Oh, the power of speech. It motivates people to do good. As a coach gets into the locker room at halftime, motivating his team through words to go out and win the game on the field. But also can be used for great evil, causing division and strife, leading people into war. This tongue is powerful. It can be used for good, like a good writer of a book, or a speech giver, or a preacher of the word. And that's God's means by which bringing life to people is through the preached word, through the spoken word. So the word can bring life, but it can also bring tremendous destruction. Oh, the power of the tongue. So understand, know the power of your tongue. So building on that, let's look at, do you know the destructive power of your tongue? Do you know the destructive power of your tongue? Look at the second half of verse 5 and verse 6. Here in this passage, this part of the passage, we see It's just a spark. Just a spark. As James turns to another illustration. When I was an instructor down at Fort Benning, I used to carry around simulators, either grenade simulators or artillery simulators. It was meant to get the attention of the students. So I'd take the simulator, pull a pin, I'd throw it off, and it'd go, whee! Boom! And it would get them to go down and get in the prone and get ready to react to indirect fire. Well, one time I was out there in the field, and these guys were doing the maneuvers, and I was trying to get their attention. I threw this thing off, and little I know, I was in the middle of a pretty dry field. And just a second later, everything started to go up in the flames. It's like, oh, stop, grab your bags, let's go. And we ran off. It just took a spark, and everything went off. In just a moment, the field was full of fire. I did call the fire department with that one. Your tongue is like that spark, setting the world on fire. Just a small word. When the thoughts of our hearts are restrained, like a fire restrained in a fireplace or in a wood stove, they're harmless. But when released, oh, the destruction they can cause. And James described it as like a world of unrighteousness. The world, the cosmos, a whole world of sin in the words of your tongue. It's like the universe of sin being dumped out when we open our mouths and speak evil. As Matthew 16 says, Jesus said, what comes out of their mouths defiles a person. This explains that the mouth is an expression of our heart. It's where the evil thoughts are located. The murderous, the adulterous, sexual immoral thoughts, false testimony, and slander. They all originate in the heart. They come, they proceed from the mouth. One commentator said it this way, no other member of the body perhaps wreaks so much havoc on a godly life, referring to the tongue. Or as Calvin said, a slender portion of flesh contains a whole world of iniquity. A destructive tongue pollutes the whole body. It's like a campfire. You don't realize how full of the fumes you are until you get home and you take a shower and you realize it's in everything. Everything has its smell. Cannot smell it until you get home. The point is that the tongue's fire destructive power affects all of our human existence from beginning to end. All the circumstances of our life. And James says this comes from the pit of hell. It's from hell. As we noted, the tongue has great power and it can be used for good and evil. But why does James here focus on the negative so much? I really think it's because it's meant to convict us. It's to convict us of our sin and make us feel really uncomfortable. For to be convicted of our sin is really part of the Christian life. It's a big part of our life. And even though this makes us really uncomfortable, and I hope you feel as uncomfortable as I do about the use of your tongue, remember, this is what God's Spirit is doing for us. He's convicting us of sin, as John 16:8 says. This is God's means by which we are to understand the gospel more deeply and by which we are sanctified. So, brothers and sisters, if you're not being convicted of your sin, you really can't understand the depth of the gospel. So I ask you this question. Does your tongue remain the focal point of the unrighteousness in your life? Has it become the agent, the one which we're supposed to be using to proclaim the kingdom of God, to lifting people up, to pointing them to Jesus? Has it become the agent of the evil one? If we do a little self-examination, we realize that our tongues are not being used as they ought to be used. I'm sure that's why James says, "I stumble this way too as well." And this is why we must continue this battle. We must continue this battle. Calvin said this. He said, "Other vices are corrected by age and by process of time." Really talking about as you grow in your faith, sometimes you can put away a lot of those sins of your life, of your youth. But then he goes on. "They drop off from our lives. But from the earliest to the latest of days, the blameful influence of the tongue remains." Oh, the power of the tongue. How a simple word can cause all kinds of trouble and destruction. Just that word of gossip. We say something we ought not to. We slander our brother or our sister. Maybe in jest. We tear people down rather than we build them up. Those little words. I read a story just recently. A little girl was made fun of in school and drove her to take her own life. Oh, the power of the words. Oh, the power of the tongue. The tongue starts wars. Shatters families. It severs relationships. Know the destructive power of the tongue. Third, as we build, do you know the uncontrollable destructive power of your tongue? Verses 7 and 8. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." James claims here that mankind has been successful in taming all types of animals. If you look at YouTube, you can find out it's true. Never think, but a lion or a tiger at a circus can be tamed to do things. Maybe a little tame, sometimes they go wild. Or a reptile. People are swimming with crocodiles or alligators. Or when a former member of this congregation, I think was part of an exhibit in Indianapolis of the birds. If you've ever been there, it's pretty neat. The zoo there where they release the birds and they fly over to where they're supposed to and they do a display of the birds. Birds can be tamed. But the tongue. Can't be tamed. Here James says it's a restless evil. It's like a little child that wants to get up and move. Just let me go. Just want to play. It's itching. The tongue is itching to get out and do its work. And here James says it's a deadly poison. Not just poison, but deadly poison. Injecting poison in all the relationships of life. Who can relate to this? You know, as soon as you open your mouth and say what you want to say, you know what's going to happen. And yet, you say it anyway. Uncontrollable. Can't keep that mouth closed. Who is the object of your uncontrolled, evil, deadly words? Often it's those most close to us. How many relationships have been fractured in your life by the uncontrolled tongue? I'm sure if you look into your past, there's a list of deeds, a list of actions you wish you hadn't done. But I'm guessing if you're like me, that list is grossly inferior to the list of words you've said. In anger, slanderous words, mean, backbiting words. And those words cannot be undone. So we need to know the uncontrollable, destructive power of the tongue. Finally, do you know the uncontrollable, destructive power of your tongue? Verses 8 through 10a. Go with 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. It's easy to understand. It's not a hard concept. When you have a duplicitous or double tongue, this theme runs through all of James's letter. The double-minded man. In chapter 1, he talks about the hearer of the word, but the one who hears only and doesn't do. And then we have in chapter 2, the one who keeps one law and yet forsakes the other. In chapter 4, it talks about when we try to remain friends with the world when we know that we're in enmity with God. And so James says, this lesson is true with your mouth. And he uses this other illustration to drive this home. On one side of our mouth, we bless God. We speak well of God. We praise God. We lift Him up. This is a positive use of language. The Lord has given us this ability to speak. And one of those main reasons to speak is so we can praise Him and lift Him up. As the Catechism says, to glorify God in our speech. But at the same time, we can use our mouths, use our tongue to curse people. James is not saying that we shouldn't say hard things to people when it's needed, because sometimes we're called to do it. We're required to do it. Rather, what he's saying is that when you gossip, when you slander, when you're argumentative, when you criticize, when you speak falsely, when you use coarse jesting, joking, you have a double tongue. And in so, you're cursing those who are made in the image and likeness of God. Believer or unbeliever alike. You're despising what has made man unique and distinguished from the rest of creation. It's not a matter of sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. No, what you say means something. You and I are so concerned with protecting life, and we should be, speaking against abortion and murder, but yet we murder our brothers and sisters with our tongue. Double tongue is completely inconsistent with who you are in Jesus Christ. When you praise God here on the Lord's Day, and yet you, when you leave this place, you're destroying others around you with what you say. You're living a double life. Your tongue is really showing who you are. Do you really know the grace of God found in Jesus Christ? If you do, your tongue needs to be confronted. What James is calling for is a consistent Christian life. Are you living a life that's consistent with what you believe? James is warning us to take this seriously, very seriously. Because remember what Jesus said? I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. People, God, know you're duplicitous, uncontrollable, destructive, powerful tongue. But James doesn't leave us there. He gives us hope and understanding. He says, but this ought not to be this way. Verse 10 through 12, the second half of 10. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grape tree bear figs? James continued, the water may be good, bad, or indifferent, but it's consistently producing the same kind of water. Can I be what God has called me to be? And the answer is yes. It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to have an uncontrollable, destructive tongue. For you in Christ, the destructive tongue should be an enigma. As a Christian, you've been transformed by the Spirit of God. You've become a spring of living water. Because of whom you are in Christ, you are no longer a slave to this tongue. You have been made new. You've been made new. You're a fresh spring in Jesus Christ. This is who you are. Control the tongue. May God grant us the mercy and the grace to do so. Let's pray. Father, as I contemplate what you've given to us here in James, I understand my sin is great. I've used my tongue in so many evil ways. Lord, and I'm sure that's true of the rest of the people sitting here this evening. Lord, we confess our sin. Make us anew. Make us consistent with what we believe. Give us the strength we need to take control of the tongue and use it for good rather than evil. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.